This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Guys, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, hilarious, national headlining comedian, multifaceted, multi-hyphenate. He's the creator slash star of Those Who Can't on True TV. His new comedy special, Wallpaper, is available everywhere and is very, very funny. Please welcome Adam Caton Holland.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. We were just talking about your special and how the comedy landscape has changed, and we got into a very in-depth, nerdy talk about stand-up.
Yep, we went inside baseball real quick, and I like that about us.
But we don't care. The listeners don't give a fuck. They just want to look inside your fridge.
They want in my fridge. These dirty voyeurs want in my fridge. And it's you know, all right, there it is. I snapped a photo for you, you food pervs.
Take a look, baby. Ooh, unfiltered.
Yeah, it's grimy.
You guys can see Adam's fridge on my Instagram, at StandUpDan, in your bedroom with the door closed and the shades drawn. Here we go.
Yeah, watch my special, wear whatever you want to wear, and then pull this image up and get the full Adam Caton Holland experience. Look at those hard-boiled eggs in the top right. You know how I get down.
Yeah, real hard-boiled. This is a great fridge. Let me start off and saying
Thanks.
This looks like, you know, I just got a very upscale Airbnb in the country.
Ooh.
And you know, it's just been fully stocked like this. This is a, first of all, the aesthetics of the fridge are kind of fun. I like these little lines here. The little lines in the shelves adds a nice texture in the door. You've got it set in a, well, like a custom opening made out of wood with wood paneling and open wood shelving up top where your cookbooks are.
You know, we moved into this house five, six years ago, and this is what we got. I want to redo the kitchen sometime down the road, but it's fine for now. And this is the fridge we were dealt, and we're playing this fridge.
Where is this? What part of the country?
I live in Denver, Colorado.
Okay, got it. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of après-ski vibes. I knew I was getting something.
Sure.
I'm getting not Veil, but right next to Veil. It's like Lion's Head.
Lion's Head. Sure. You know your stuff.
I'm getting Lion's Head vibes for the deep cut Veil people.
Listen, we're more real. We're like Breckenridge heads. Perhaps we're even Steamboat Springs. We're off of I-70. We're just earnest Colorado mountain folk who aren't about all that hype and bullshit.
I think it's funny. It's you guys have Veil and Aspen, which are like two of the glitziest places on the planet. So
you know what else is Telluride? Telluride is like, that's the southwest corner of the state, and that is so insanely wealthy and hard to get to. Oprah has a house down there. Tom Cruise has a house down there. Telluride is the real, it's like Aspen's rich, Telluride's rich with taste. That's where you really go. Yeah, Telluride's the gem.
Interesting. Let's put a pin in ski foods. I don't know if you ski or not.
I snowboarded a ton growing up, and now I'm old and everything hurts all the time, so I don't even dare.
All right, but we can still talk about food on ski mountains, because that to me is a whole subset on its own.
Sure.
I was just in Vail, actually. Now that we shat on all the rich people in Vail, I was just in Vail, and I had a wonderful time, and it was very upscale, and I spent a lot of money.
I don't care about burning that Vail bridge. You think I give a fuck? I'll fuck Vail. I don't need them to come to my shows. I'll burn that bridge right now.
This show is sponsored by the Vail Tourism Council.
Oh, fuck. God, I knew it. I always do this.
Would like to apologize to Jonathan and Celine Vail, who are listening right now.
Woodrow Vail and all his sons. Everyone's named Tyler. He has 8 Tylers. Tyler Vail.
Okay. For someone who's poo-pooing on fancy people, this is a very fancy fridge, okay?
Look, there's a lot going on. I'm not going to lie, I curated this. It was a full day. It was like when we were at capacity. I've got 2 young strapping boys who eat everything. So there's a lot of food for them in here as well. This is us going as hard as we can on the fridge, pretty much. By the end of the week, totally threadbare. There's like nothing left.
Interesting. Okay, so let's start at the top. We've got our yogurt for the kids, the yogurt pack thing. That I have a philosophical issue with the yogurt, like, what do you call it, the squeezy pouch thing,
dude? I know you're gonna say it's the waste, and I have a problem with it too, like, so much
plastic. I don't give a fuck about the waste. I'm fine with the waste. I don't care about the turtles. It's more like the I don't like the pouchification of food.
Oh.
I'm anti the yogurts and the applesauces and the pouchifications. It's just like continuing sucking on a teat. It's like we're gonna these kids are just never gonna grow up, because they're just used to having everything put into a teat size thing that they squeeze into the mouth. It's just like, when are you gonna you're supposed to wean them off, and instead you're just prolonging it and replacing the breast milk with applesauce and, you know, yogurts and other treats.
There's a lot of coddling of children that you're honing in on that I completely agree with. Like, a lot of times we'll be doing stuff like that, or just catering to the kids, and I'll say to my wife, I'm just like, if these kids had like a Great Depression farmer dad, you think he'd be handing them a tube of yogurt and being like, enjoy? He would give them one bite of his yogurt that he made himself on the farm. And if they spilled it, it was, you're never getting this shit again, and go outside for the day. Like, that's what would happen. And they'd be better off for it. And yet we're here just like, here's your tube, come back for another.
Yeah, I'm picturing this Depression era father. I like this guy. I like that if the yogurt spills, the kid gets thrown out and his bones go brittle from the lack of calcium. He says, 1 year, no more yogurt for you, Anthony. And Anthony just, you know, gets polio.
Exactly. The farm's not doing well. The banker keeps coming around. Everyone can smell what's going to happen to this farm. The dad's got a lot on his fucking plate, and these kids are nagging him about yogurt. That's how you get the Oklahoma backhand real quick. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That dad can use one less dependent. Okay.
Absolutely.
So we're all just talking about. You're not appreciating.
This is Tom Joad. We're all talking about Tom Joad in The Grapes of Wrath. And he's a handsome man. He's down on his luck. It's Henry Fonda.
You think John Steinbeck was a fun guy?
I hope so. He certainly wrote about pretty parts of California. I hope he just stopped being so serious and was like, let's have a fucking couple of bottles together and just appreciate it.
What if he was like a goofball, like fun goofball guy, but then he just wrote the most depressing shit?
Yeah, totally love fart. Like, fart humor just nailed it. Like, if anyone made a fart noise, Steinbeck was on the floor. That's my stuff.
That's my Achilles heels, guys.
Oh, good sweet, sweet fart riffs.
Is this cube pancetta that I spy?
I do believe that is. This is, you know, you and I have rescheduled numerous times. So this is from a while ago. I feel like this is atypical. I feel like we had some dish that we were making. Maybe friends were coming over.
He's backtracking on his anti-bougie stance he started with, ladies and gentlemen. Now he's like, I don't know how this cute pancetta got in here.
Who put this in my fridge? All I have is gristle and Coors banquet beers. Somebody got in my fridge. No, I'm definitely waspy as fuck. But like typically we get Blue Apron, we get Green Chef. We're just like, deliver us our food bags and we'll cook whatever you tell us to cook. I'm very rarely ambitious in a direction of like, I'm conceiving the meal, I'm doing the dish. But this was like, we had friends coming over and I was cooking some dish, so I had gotten it. Like, there was a rare occasion where I was at the helm and had researched a recipe and was going to cook something big that week.
Have you ever tried Factors, the meal delivery system? Factors?
Are you doing a plug? Are you going to cut to like your sponsor right now?
Use promo code GreenX50 to get 50% off your first order.
That was so well done. I don't know Factors. Is it good?
Yeah, it's actually really good. They sent me some of their stuff, and it actually they're like a little more customizable, so you can like, you can do a lot of customizing on them. They're pretty great.
You are speaking my wife's language. She loves this shit. I will tell her about Factors.
What is this tube of liver over here?
Those are beets. Those are a couple of beets. Shrink wrapped in a bag. My wife's been on a kick of trying to get our children to eat good things. And so she'll slice up stuff and put it on their plates and be like, here's a beet that you will ignore. So that was that for sure.
I have a theory on beets. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
My theory is I like beets, but they're not worth the trouble, because here's what happens is like, you have your beets and then you forget you had your beets. And then that night you go piss and you think you're bleeding out of your penis. And as you're panicking, questioning your mortality, right away you realize, oh wait, no, I had beets. Like, is the flavor of beets worth that split second of, oh my God, I'm going to die?
Or the health benefit? Yeah. Can I tell you a joke that I have about beets? This is a joke of mine. I'm just going to do it real quick. But I say in the joke, I go, all right, guys, this is an overshare. Out the gates, it's an overshare. The other day, there was so much blood in my stool, like so much blood. Like, any amount's concerning, but this is like, I'm dying. I got to go to the hospital immediately. And then I remembered, oh yeah, beets. And then the audience laughs. And then I go, you can't shove a beet that far up your ass without getting a little bit of blood. I knew what I was. The hubris of me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
You think I'm going to zig and I zag on the beets?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what comedians call parallel thinking. You see, two comedians had blood that they thought was in their stool and in their piss, and they came up with two different bits about it.
Two different takes on beets. This has been a show. Show this to future generations of comedians at the Smithsonian when they're like, how did they do it? And just show them this.
Welcome to our very free masterclass on comedy.
Totally.
Okay, so we got the Faye yogurt.
Yep.
Faye is becoming like solidified in the canon of yogurts. I remember when it was the hot new kid on the block. Not that I think kids are hot. I don't like how that came out.
Get a load of this Tyler Vail who just moved onto the block. That is a hot kid.
That's a hot new kid. But now it's like, I don't know. I feel like in this world of the Chobani coming out.
Uh-huh.
You know, and what's the other one? There's one that I get that's like, it tastes like spackle.
There's one, I don't know which one that is.
Oh, God, what is that called? It's like Nordic. It's like some Nordic yogurt called like Skyr or something.
There's something with an O Nordic as well. I mean, the Target aisle of yogurts.
Siggy's,
yeah, that's a big Siggy's one.
Oof, it's awful.
Target has had to allocate fridge space to yogurts that they didn't anticipate. Like, that thing's, it's as big as milk, if not bigger. Target's just really pushing the yogurt.
Yeah.
But we're buying it. We're buying it.
We are. I mean, there's just so many different SKUs of it now. There's like kefir, which who knows what that is?
When I was a child, if you gave me a plain vanilla yogurt, it was like spitting in my face. To do, like, what are you talking about? There's so many other flavors. They would have ones that had chocolate in it. And now it's just nothing but plain vanilla yogurt as far as the eye can see. I did not anticipate that. Nor did the Greeks. The Greeks were like, we're down for the count. And they're storming back in the yogurt fights.
Oh, they've come back with a vengeance with their yogurt. And the Bulgarians must be looking at that and being like, when's our time to shine?
poor Bulgaria withering on the vine, on the yogurt vine.
We also make a very tasty... Shut up, Bulgarians.
Okay, sorry. We're over here Crete. We're in Crete right now on vacation.
You know what I think did it for Faye? What made them take over the market share? They came out of the gates with that yogurt that had like... two different sections, and one section was for honey and one section was for the yogurt. Do you know what I'm talking
about? I missed that. I did not see that.
You ever see those videos on YouTube of those people who get that eye surgery and like see for the first time?
Sure, yeah.
Like Mr. Beast pays for their surgery or something. That's how I felt when I saw that. When I saw that, I was like, whoa. I was blind and now I can see.
Yogurt for the first time. That's beautiful.
You got the Sabra. Sabra's gone down in my ranking of store-bought humai.
I think it's humai.
Humai. I don't know. For some reason, I think that they've started to work at, you know, they've become more shelf-stable. When you're getting a hummus, it's very important to read the ingredient list, I think, because a lot of them have these stabilizers and preservatives. And this is not me saying, like, oh, everything you buy has to be from the farmer's market. I do think that the flavor of it is affected by that stuff, though. Like, hummus in general is very susceptible to, like, preservatives and fake citrus and whatnot, because I do think it is, like, it's a pretty perishable food, so they do a lot of shit to keep it going.
Interesting. That I did not know, and that makes me concerned.
You're killing your children. What is this in this Tupperware here?
This is a very authentic, from my area dish, that's a green chili. That is a green chili. It looks gross. It looks like some brownish gruel in a Tupperware. Yeah. They were like, we got to have this again. No, a friend made a really good green chili with New Mexico hatch green chilies and brought it over. And in this region, people, you throw that in a bowl with some tortillas, that's a whole dinner right there.
Green chili is a very, very Denver-specific or a Colorado-specific thing or just Denver?
Well, it's actually New Mexico. There's like hatch green chili, and they're so proprietary. It's like Champagne, France. Like, they're like, no, the only real ones are from here. But Colorado being neighbors with that and you know, ancestrally, all the Hispanic people in this area were going back and forth between New Mexico and Colorado. So yeah, if you don't have green chili, that ain't Mexican food out here.
Yeah. I remember I did a show in Colorado Springs and they were going nuts about their green chili. I'm so into it.
And like when I lived in LA for a long time, LA's got fantastic Mexican food. And I was like, this is too authentic. I need Denver Mexican food. I need green chili and I need like crispy chili rellenos. And I need chips and salsa for free without me ever having to ask for that. That's just a part of the experience.
Yeah, authentic Mexican. Stop making me ask you.
What's with these street tacos? I'm from Denver. What are you doing?
I might go out on a limb and say I like Denver Mexican more than I like Tex-Mex in terms of like the Americanized Mexican food.
Sure.
I think Tex-Mex for me is a little too like... feels like it's coming out of a Frito-Lay factory.
I agree. And there was, you know, Mexico was this entire portion of the U.S.
Right.
So like there were, this was Mexico for a long time. So ancestrally, there are people here of that who are from there making food for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's like green chili in this region of the U.S. has been here forever.
That's so interesting because, yeah, I wouldn't normally associate Colorado with, like, having a claim on any type of Mexican food, like how you think Texas and New Mexico do.
If you look at maps before, like, the Louisiana Purchase and shit, this whole section of the country was Mexico. And then they just whittled it down and whittled it down and whittled it down and took it all. But yeah, for sure. This was ancestrally that.
All right. Second section. We've got, looks like blackberries, a little leftover butter.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Some organic eggs. We got organic eggs on every fucking level of this fridge. We got them here. We got them here. We got the Vital Farms. We got whatever these yellow organic eggs are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can't get enough of those organic eggs.
Organic eggs. I always say it's an easily justifiable $1 or $2 extra to splurge for the good eggs that, like, these chickens weren't, like, tortured. It's like, I'll give a dollar or two to the non-torture the chickens fund.
Well, and it's like, we have no way of checking it. We're just trusting the system that some, it's like, you know, probably the way the legalese is. It's like one guy rotates the chickens once a month and we're allowed to call that organic. It's
yeah, like, that's cage free.
It's like an enterprise when you rent. They're like, do you want to do $1.25 to, like, offset your carbon emissions? And I'm always like, of course I do. Like, who's vouching for that? How is that calculated? I'm just like, I'm a good dude. Have my $1.25 enterprise. Like, no one's vouching for this shit.
I like to think that the legal department in the chicken factory, like, was like, guys, we can call them cage free, but we put this shock collar on them and they can only walk, like, within they're outside, but they can't fucking move.
If the cage comes with them, they're still free. See, what we did is we made the cage the outfit.
Right. We're not charging the chickens anything for the cage, so it is technically a free cage.
It's gratis. It's a gratis cage. A lot of places charge a chicken for the cage, and that's inhumane if you ask us.
No. We supply it for free. I did go to a coffee shop yesterday, and I got thrown off guard as I was paying $5.50 for a macchiato, which I make coffee in my own place now, which makes it even more shocking when I pay for a coffee outside of my house, like how expensive coffee's got. Because I'm like out of the game, and then I go back in, and I'm like, holy fuck, it's tripled. So it was like $5-6 for my macchiato. And then she's like, would you like to donate $1 to the children's hospital? And my knee-jerk reaction is always say no when people are asking me for extra money for something.
Yeah.
And I said no, and then I felt kind of bad about saying no. But it was too late to backtrack.
Yeah, you were full of righteous indignation off the price, and then the children's hospital gets thrown in there, and that's just like, yeah, that's not on the children's hospital. They just got saddled with this overpriced macchiato people.
Yeah, exactly. And now I have this Pavlovian response where when I hear children's hospital, I'm like, no, no.
I'm anti that. That's an overpriced children's hospital.
So,
yeah, that's a tough road for you to walk.
Nice try, Alfred Coffey. That backfired, didn't it? You have a package of what looks like expensive meat here.
So this is the Blue Chef. This is the Green Apron. They send you, this is how the meat is presented to you for the week.
Got it. Good presentation, guys.
Sure, they're nailing it.
They're nailing it. These milks. Let's talk. Yeah. Let's have a moment of silence for the beauty of this milk over here.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so glad you feel this way.
I feel like this is that farm to table. This is udder to fridge. That's what this bottle looks like. Like it was like the daughter took a marker and fonted out, like, used a stencil on this and just filled in the label for the milk bottle here. Tell me about this milk.
Let me get on my soapbox and opine about Royal Crest Dairy. This and there are pockets of the U.S. I don't know if it's common or not. This is the milkman. This is delivered to us in a box on our porch.
Come on.
It's even more quaint than you think it is. This is just like the milkman comes and delivers us this milk. They also will bring you cheese. They'll bring you bagels. They'll bring you bacon. Like, Royal Crest Dairy rules. And recently we there's another one called Longmont Dairy. So I don't know. I don't know if Denver's 1956 or what, but there's options for milk delivery around here. Wow. And we partake. We partake.
I'm curious how the bagels made it in there. Like, it's like, I don't, it's like this very old, like all this old school Americana stuff. And then like just one Jewish ingredient, like we've got milk, cheese, arugula, and bacon. It's like, wait, how?
Well, we had an intern from Israel and we love him. He's so talented and he's part of the company now.
He's a good guy. So,
he's a good kid. And just try the bagels. You're like, they're right. They're delicious. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Royal Crest has been around Denver forever. What's it say? Since 1927, right? So
yeah,
they contract with like the bagel place is the place called Moe's Bagels. So like I already like Moe's Bagels. They'll just bring you Moe's Bagels. I don't think they make them themselves.
I love it.
Yeah, it's just a real quaint, awesome thing. Especially when you got a 5-year-old and 2-year-old boy, they're just pounding the milk. So like we rip through it. So it, having it delivered is it rules.
It's going to be a sad day when Amazon Prime takes over all of the
Royal Crest.
The Royal Crest.
Yep.
It's just like you're just going to have a pissed off Amazon guy just throw them at your door.
Yeah, one of those awful fucking vans with the reverse. Like Amazon's got the worst reverse noise. I already hate that company, but they're like, what if our vans reversing sounded like a robot fucking you? How does it, would that be better? And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, thank you, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, you continue to shine, Rick.
Yeah, what is that about? Why is the reverse so aggressive? It's the most grating sound. It really is. It's almost like the anti, like, ice cream man, like, sound. Like, ice cream man sound totally makes you excited. I hear that, and even though it should be exciting, because, like, I'm getting something delivered to me that, you know, it makes me hate it. It's the same way that the Alfred the Macchiato makes me hate the children's hospital.
It's almost as if Bezos just leaned into, like, oh, by the way, you don't realize I'm the face of dystopia, right? So, like, listen to the sound that my trucks make. In case you didn't get, in case you need even more of a reminder, the world's ending, yeah. And I'm like at the helm with 12 other guys.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm going into space.
Yeah.
All right. What are these? These are like very beautiful, like Tupperware prepared, sort of a curry chicken salad looking situation.
That's exactly what it is. You nailed it. Curry chicken salad. This is a crazy story.
I'm very impressed with myself.
Story.
Hold on.
Yeah, way to
Adam,
go. Way to go.
Let that breathe for a second. All right.
You're right.
Let that breathe. I mean,
you're right.
I urge you all to go to at Stand Up Dan to see this fridge and see on that second row, all the way to the left, Danny Duke calling the curry chicken salad. Okay, you can go now.
No, you're exactly right. I'm sorry. I should have given you more due. There's no, that could have just be shredded carrots. It could be peanut butter on the smeared on the perimeter, but you fucking nailed it. Curry chicken
Thank
salad.
You. I appreciate
two
it.
Containers of it. Two containers of it.
That's great.
So, well, my wife and I are all about, like I said, we're like lazy, so we like to have this food delivered to us. Also, we have children, so this just helps. But there's this company in Denver, this restaurateur. I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I won't say the name. But like they own several restaurants, reputable, people love them. And they started doing this like meal delivery stuff. Like also you can get some stuff delivered if you want. So we were like all in, great. We can have these types of things, salads, just don't think about it for lunch. And then they started this campaign of like, also, if you buy gift certificates, you get 25% off. And so my wife and I do this a lot and we're like, okay, you know, we'll get $1,000 gift certificate. And then we'll, for $750, let's do it. And then they're just like, oh, the service is discontinued. We're tweaking the formula. We'll be back in like a couple weeks. And we're like, got it. We still have $450 remaining on this thing. And then the website's gone down. And now there's all these like Yelp reviews of like, is anybody else getting fucked by this meal delivery service? And we can't, I have no idea what's going on. And we're livid about it. So not only have these delicious chicken curry salads dried up, I'm on the hook for like 450 to these assholes. and they seem to have just disappeared. So that's what's going on right here.
Wow, you got Ponzi'd.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, for real. The restaurants are still thriving. Denver's a small town. I know this guy. I know his wife.
My God.
I have no reason. I don't know them well, but I know them. And I have no reason to distrust them. But something is up with their at-home meal delivery service. And we're not the only ones who are starting to be like you read these Yelps and they're like, I bought $2,000 for my daughter who just had a baby. Like, here you go. And they're gone. We can't get an answer. None of it.
Oh my God.
So this is a real drama in the fridge.
That's awful. I mean, you know, should we publicly shame them or you don't want to?
I'm not there yet because I do know these people, but I want you to know I'm unhappy and I want to get to the bottom of it. That's for sure.
Wow. That is a veiled threat if I ever heard one. And by the way, you're invited back anytime if you want to publicly shame them.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
You know, I had this restaurant in New York called Pastis, which is like a very famous place that I go to a lot when I'm in New York. And they had the same type of deal where it's like buy a gift card and get 50% off of the food there. So I've spent like $500 and got this gift card for $1,000. And
wow.
I go every time I'm in New York, I'll go there. I was like, this is money well spent. It's great.
Yeah. And you're in New York, you like want to splurge a little bit.
Yeah. So then the owner of the restaurant posted like a weirdly like very like kind of pro Hamas post on Instagram, and everyone was like, don't ever go to Pastis ever again.
Yikes.
And I was
yikes.
Like, okay, I get it, but like I kind of have to spend this money.
I mean, so just like three more times until I burn this thing.
I put my hat down like really low on my head and just like,
oh hope Lord,
none of my relatives walk by as I'm eating pro Hamas.
That's
food.
So but, funny. That's hilarious.
Oh man, what is this in the butcher paper?
I don't know, but it must be related to that pancetta up top. That must have been because I remember around this time. Like I was saying, we had friends coming and I was going to cook a dinner. So I think it's like chicken breasts but I can't remember exactly what I cooked. So it's okay. Sorry. It's some deli meat, of a high quality, but I don't remember what it is.
All right. Of a high quality. We know, Adam, everything in this.
I had friends coming over.
What is this penicillin that I see in the back of the fridge? I think I see a ISSILN.
Is it penicillin? I don't. When you have kids, they're so constant.
There's penicillin in the fridge next to the milk and behind the mystery package.
You're telling me you don't mix your milk with penicillin just as a precaution? I'm sorry. That's how I start my day.
It's your smoothie. You put it in your smoothie.
I have no idea what that's for. Kids were sick. I have no fucking idea what that is.
Front and center.
You're totally right. Yeah, that's mystery penicillin, guys.
I love that you can go on a half an hour deep dive on every single ingredient in your fridge, and then it comes down to the
to the medicine, and I don't know what it is.
I don't know what the hell that's doing there. But anyway, the chicken broth
you're
next
totally
to
right.
is all natural.
You're totally right. What an asshole.
Let's go to the door, actually.
Sure.
You've got what's becoming the hot mayo of the day, the Sir Kensington. All the kids love it.
Is that the hot one? My wife hates mayo, so I had to like bring, you know, you become a parent and you just become obsessive about organic in a way that you weren't before.
Right.
And so like, and my wife hates mayo anyway, so I had to bring home a mayo she would accept. And this looked like the fancy one that seemed decent.
It is a fancy, decent one. It's got a little bit of a tang to it, which I kind of like. It's a okay. fun mayo. I'm into Sir Kensington's.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor of the show. By the way, I'm doing this new thing where if I'm plugging your food and you're not a sponsor of the show, that I have to like say something negative about it after I plug it. So I don't know if you know that the actual Sir Kensington was like a huge slave owner.
Prolific in the cotton trade. Yeah,
Prolific.
The original Kensington.
Oh my God. Like, he was like, everyone else was like, no, let's pay for labor. And he's like, we don't have to pay for anything.
We're on a border state. We can still get away with it.
Yeah. Like, that Kensington is a real mean fella, but he makes a fantastic mayonnaise.
The secret ingredient is cotton.
Yeah, that's the tank. That's the tang.
That's the tang.
It's the cotton.
For sure.
All right, Sir Kensington, sure. It's on you. If you want to sponsor my podcast, we will stop talking about the storied past of Sir Kensington.
Your move, Kensington.
Okay, we got the cheese. I always call this Polio string cheese from back in the day. I don't know. Does that ring a bell, or is that just an East Coast thing?
That's not ringing a bell for me.
Oh, Polio string cheese. It must be East Coast. But yeah, what do you call it? Do you call this string cheese? Is that what that is?
I call it string cheese. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
In a pinch, hand a kid a cheese. I always say that's my catchphrase. In a pinch, yeah. Hand the kid the cheese.
Yeah. You did try to sell all those bumper stickers on your website. They did not sell well.
Nope. But I still carry them with me around at live shows, and they're at the merch table. You'll see them. You'll see them every now and again.
Yeah, I heard that you'll be like, I'll even sign them. I'll personalize them. And they didn't move.
In the pinch, hand a kid a cheese. Nothing? Huh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Your beers here, you have a lot of very fancy micro brews here. I mean, this looks like a very, very fancy. I mean, this label here, there's a skull with spikes going through the face.
Yeah. Shout out to my... Listen, I'm from Colorado. I have a beard. I'm a walking IPA. I am what I am. And this is true brewing. Satanic heavy metal brewery in Denver. They fucking rule. Yep, it's exactly that. This is true brewing beer. It's great. And it's TRVE. That's how metal they are.
Whoa. It's like Latin and shit.
Exactly. It's cool because it opened in my old neighborhood. Which, you know, it was like it used to be sort of eclectic and now it's just getting very gentrified and shitty. And True opened in the middle of it and just plays death metal. And so you see dudes walking in there who are like, this looks like a good spot. And like it's just a blast of noise that's a middle finger that just pushes the assholes out. And so I always liked the brewery
that's
because
so
of that.
Is Colorado responsible for the second wave of like brewing in America that kind of took place, the beer renaissance, let's call it?
Dude, big time. Like, I mean, I could go on, but they refer to it as like the Napa Valley of beer and the Great American Beer Festival's here, and there's so many breweries, and at the, you know, state universities you can take brewing, and it's just a big deal out here. It's big business.
I have this theory of like when like American ingenuity, like when we focus on something, like we'll get to the moon, like we'll go as far as we can to achieve it. And I feel like something happened in like the late 90s where America just became obsessed with beer, and like we arguably make the best beers in the world now, like better than Europe, better than all those storied places that, you know, are kind of steeped in tradition. And part of it, I think, is the American ingenuity, where we're not really like tethered to the past as much. Whereas like if you go to like Germany, they're like, your beer must have these three ingredients in this ratio, or it's not real beer. But I think because of that, we have the best fucking beer in the world.
Well, and I think a lot of American cities, like Denver being one example, like revitalized downtrodden areas, like, oh, this is the big space, this is the warehouse, let's buy it and make beer. And that seemed to be a gentrification model, unfortunately, all over the fucking place. So a lot of American cities have their beer areas of the city where it's like all the breweries are kind of clumped together because it was once cheap real estate. And now most cities have a pretty robust beer scene. And like, as a beer drinker, I like it when I travel. I feel like it's like the last local thing. You like can go to like St. Louis and be like, all right, what's the good beer here? And they're like, oh, this cool brewery started here and it's got a story. And it just feels like what I imagine the US was like 80 years ago, before it was just corporate chains everywhere and every city was the same and you just go to the same bullshit. This feels like kind of local and cool. And so I like it for that reason.
That's so interesting. I never thought about that. It is kind of a bastion of the past where it's like, it is this thing that is hyper local to the area. And, it, you know, okay, can I, I'm going to end this on a really sad note.
Sure.
I like slowly started developing, this is a self-diagnosis, an allergy to hops. And
oh, wow.
I love beer and I love IPAs. But like I started to realize that the more hoppy the beers I drank, I would start like breaking out, like splotchy, and like I'd feel hot. And then like I realized that I can drink. This is why I don't think it's like a gluten allergy, because I can drink like a Japanese beer or like a Mexican beer, like a lot like the sure. like a super light pilsner or a lager.
Yep.
And I'm fine. But if once I go to IPA land. Like, if I have a Pliny the Elder, which is, like, one of my favorite beers, it just, like,
yeah,
I'm signing up to just, like, fuck up the rest of my day. And I'll do it.
That
I'll do
sucks.
It. I'll make the sacrifice.
Yeah, you're like, whatever, I like it enough, but that sucks, because I've definitely been a big IPA drinker as well. And, yeah, if you're not into hops, that's it. That's the whole thing is hops.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole goddamn thing. You know the story of IPAs?
That it had to be, like, hoppier to be sent to India. That's why it's like the India Pale Ale. They just pumped it full of hops.
There you go. I thought I could impress you with a fun fact, but you knew it already.
I'm impressed with your beer knowledge. I wanted to say one more thing about beer's culture, because I've never even had this thought until now. But it's like, I think you're right. There was a time in the 90s where like independent beer brewing and micro brewing was kind of weird, and it's blown the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I feel like it kind of is almost like punk rock, in that like you could do anything, you do it at home, you're not told what to brew, and now it's become huge. And when a big beer, when like a beloved indie brewer sells to a huge Busch or Coors or Molson or whatever, all the other brewers like fucking sell out. You sell out.
Yeah.
Like it feels like punk rock in that way, where we used to be like, they signed with the label, sell out. Like, it's just funny that that's kind of going on.
It is funny. It's funny you say that. I just read that book, the Chuck Klosterman book, The 90s, which I highly recommend to, like, you're, like, around my age. But it's, like, that growing up for us, like, our generation, the concept of selling out was, like, the worst thing ever. And, like, no new generation since then gives a fuck. They're like, oh, you do sales. You sell. And, like, I feel like that's kind of it's like this limiting thing that we have in our brain where we're like, if I get too successful, it's not a good thing.
You and I were talking about putting out clips and reels and all these young comics who are like, I'm the brand. I am for sale. And that is how it goes. And yeah, you're right. We're like 90s kids. We're like, no, you're the whore. But no one cares anymore because of the whore is getting paid, man. So what are you doing?
Yeah. It's the OnlyFans generation, baby.
Yeah, totally. Totally, totally. And meanwhile, I'm like, well, here's my punk rock IPA, so I guess I'll just become a relic.
What's interesting about beer is that pre-prohibition, beer was not the top dog everyday drinker. It was cider. Cider was the king of like the daily drinker. And then prohibition happened and all of these orchards went out of business, but wheat was still being grown for bread and stuff. So like it was easy to pivot that. And so making beer underground became a thing. And then after prohibition, like the orchards have not bounced back for cider making until like recently. And there's like this huge bounce back in New York State. New York State had the most orchards for cider, and now it's like almost back to like pre-prohibition levels. It's like pretty amazing.
This is also interesting, man. It's funny. I think you're right. There's a very American just alcohol conversation to be had that we innovate at. But yeah, that's I love it. I love that.
And listen, even again, like I think I'm a huge wine drinker. America's wine game is like pretty fucking awesome, and not just in like super expensive Napa cab stuff. Like our wine game all over the country is like getting amazing. And in a weird way, thanks to global warming, like different regions that should not be like famous, like wine growing regions are suddenly like having their time of day because like climate has changed. And like,
oh, wow.
Upstate New York is making some of the best Rieslings in the world now.
Because, that's crazy.
Isn't that wild? But like, yeah, man, I think alcohol-wise, like America is like as good as it gets for like across the board.
We're you got to try this alcohol. Wine that the grapes were grown on an iceberg by one polar bear out at sea. And it is, you've never had a wine like this.
It's divine. Yeah, it's so fun. Like England is like making the best like quote unquote champagnes now because of climate change. It's like now the English countryside is like has the same climate that like Champagne had. Like
that is so interesting. Yeah, I mean if we're gonna go down, we might as well enjoy the delights of the process.
You got Chenin Blanc here, which is kind of a hip white wine these days.
Well, I'm a hip white guy.
Yeah, you are a hip white guy. You got the Chenin, you got a little Champers, you got your Oatly, another Royal Crest. Look, all in all, great fridge, very impressive.
I appreciate it.
This is very different from when you were a single man.
My God, the difference for sure.
Yeah, you can tell with comics when they've settled down and when they're still on the road.
Yeah, it's just like a fucking bloody rag and a half open Coors Light.
Let's take a deep dive on green chilies. To do that, we need to first talk about the red ones. Chilies originated in South America. It is believed that humans collected wild chilies as far back as 6500 BCE, or 10,000 years ago. However, chilies were likely domesticated closer to 6,000 years ago. Chilies were worshipped by the Inca and the Aztecs. You need to fast forward to the 1800s before we see the green chili. The green chili variety was developed by Dr. Fabian Garcia in the late 1800s and the early 1900s at New Mexico State University. The central chili grown by Dr. Garcia is known as the New Mexico No. 9. Part of the reason the No. 9 was developed was to create control over the genetics of the chili to ensure size and heat consistency, which Dr. Garcia believed would increase consumption across the Anglo population. And he was right. Green chilies have rapidly become a key agricultural product in New Mexico and Colorado. In 2004, over 60,000 tons of green chili were produced in New Mexico alone. And 12,000 full and part-time employees have been employed in the chili industry as of 2017. All right, I'm going to get to the questions that I ask every guest, starting with what is your earliest food memory?
Oh, I didn't know about these questions. So these are going to be very real. These are very real time.
Oh, really? Oh, there's 10 questions.
Oh, shit. Well, you're going to get from the fucking hip.
I like it.
First food memory. And the first one that's just coming up to mind was chocolate milk at snack time.
Oh, that's a good one.
At like recess or whatever it was. But I remember there would only be a set amount and you kind of would like race to get one. You really, really wanted one. There wasn't enough for everybody. Otherwise, there were milks or there were orange juices, but there were like, you know, six chocolate milks out there. And I remember racing for the chocolate milk.
That's a very good one. I don't think I've ever heard that one. I like that one.
I don't know what that did for me psychologically, but that's a piece of me. Race for the chocolate milk.
Thus far, you're one for one on shooting from the hip. I'm impressed.
Okay, cool.
Two, death row meal. So let's think of a reason that you are, why are you on death row? So your favorite brewery, what was it called? The one with the skulls and the...
True Brewing.
Yeah. True Brewing sends out an email list to all their followers like, hey guys, we're so excited to announce that Anheuser-Busch just bought us out. And now we are under the Anheuser-Busch label and you just can't take it. And you
take it.
Go over there and even though he's your friend, he thinks you're coming in for a hug, but you're coming in for a strangle.
Sure.
And you don't let go. You don't let go. And now he's dead. And now you're on death row. What is your death row meal?
Okay. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Yeah, okay. I foods that are coming to mind immediately, like, you know, can I have an appetizer and a meal? Like French onion soup is a favorite. French onion soup is a favorite.
That's
I don't know why foods that I like are just flying into my brain. Cacio e pepe Cacio e Pepe, adult mac and cheese. I love Cacio e Pepe. It's so good.
Cacio e Pepe is adult mac and cheese. How have I never thought about that?
Oh, it so is.
That's so funny.
French onion soup, cacio e pepe, and then just like a really good fried chicken, like a soul food restaurant, just fry a plate of fried chicken.
I like that. Wow. I might use adult mac and cheese on this podcast again if we talk about cacio e pepe. I will give you credit every time I use it.
Okay, yes. It's exactly what it is. It's adult mac and cheese.
What's the best high-end meal you've ever had?
High-end meal. I'm blanking on the name of it, so it's not going to help anybody. But I went on my honeymoon to South Africa, and we went to Cape Town, and there was some restaurant that I had to try to get a reservation 6 months ahead of time. And we pulled it off. You know, it was just like one of those. And it was so fancy. And when you went in, this is like, this is the waiting area, but they gave you a few dishes, and it was all I remember was the room was like black and dark in the waiting area. It had cool art and cool lights, and then they're like, we're ready for you now. And they bring you into this other room, and it was white. So it was just like this very like weird shift in color and perspective. And it was awesome. We just drank our faces off and ate everything, and it was delicious.
Interesting. Would you remember the name of the place if I mentioned it?
Maybe.
Okay. I just Googled top 10 upscale restaurants in Cape Town. Reverie Social Table.
It's not coming to mind.
Chef's Warehouse, Homespun, FYN, La Colombe.
I think it might have been La Colombe.
Really?
Yes.
La Colombe, Cape Town. I think you went to a coffee shop, La Colombe.
Oh, then that's not what it was.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
Does this ring a bell? I mean, this is just showing crazy food
dishes, with
smoke coming out of them. No, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. It was very chefy. It was very tweezery. So this is in the ballpark. But if I search La Colombe, it's not coming up. Your listeners are going to be like, well, how long do I got to do this shit? Wait,
did it look like this? Here, check out the screen.
That's not it. Nope.
No?
No.
Oh, well. La Colombe, we just gave you a long shout out.
We sure did.
But you look like a great restaurant. What is the best low-end meal you've ever had? This can be like a street taco, a hot dog.
I traveled around Mexico with two friends for like a month and a half when I was 24. And we all spoke Spanish and we drank all the time. And I went all over Mexico, just backpacked. And we ate street tacos every single place. I ate street tacos two meals a day. For fucking 60 days.
Wow. That's
it was insane. And there was some in Mexico City. It was like the first time, it was just kind of more higher end, and it was veggie. And there were these potato tacos just on the street that were so good. And they had black corn tortilla, like black tortillas that were so delicious. And I remember that if I could find that taco right now, I'd pay $40 for it. It was fantastic.
What is your favorite drunk food?
This is basic, but just pizza. Just a nice slice or two.
It's basic for a reason. It works.
Yep,
it's
exactly.
Great.
You find it a lot on the road in comedy. It's every town. You can get a slice if you're willing to wander around enough after the bar. It's out there for you.
Do you have a hangover cure that you subscribe to?
No, because now that I'm 43, the hangovers are just so bad. I guess working out, sweat it out, that's the best I can do.
Can I share my hangover cure with you just because it's in the same vein as cacio e pepe being the adult mac and cheese?
Yes, please.
Mine is I like a carbonara pasta because that's like a upscale bacon, egg, and cheese.
Touche. That's very well.
It's got the egg. It's got the pancetta or guanciale, but pancetta is fine. And it's got the bread is the pasta, bacon, egg, and cheese.
I love that. I'll do that next time.
Yeah, have it. It's yours. Do you have a favorite dessert?
Yeah, I like a creme brulee. Like if I'm at a restaurant, you know what I mean? I like to crack it. I like all of that. A creme brulee is
very festive. It's very festive.
I like the ceremony of it. I like the torch. I like all of it.
Do you have a favorite celebrity food personality besides Anthony Bourdain.
Is that what everybody says? Bourdain. Yeah. For a while, and now I can't really stand him, but for a while I was very into Bobby Flay. I thought he was, I enjoyed his presence, and I liked Beat Bobby Flay. And I think maybe I didn't know about food personalities, and now I've been like blown away by other people besides him. But yeah. He's my guilty pleasure food personality. I enjoyed what Bobby Flay was offering a while ago.
You know, I watch whenever I'm on the plane and I'm tired, Beat Bobby Flay is like my go-to on Delta.
I also like a good eye roll from Tom Colicchio on Top Chef. When he's over something, you can tell on Top Chef when it's been a long day and he's like, I'm fucking done. I like diffident Colicchio. I like to see that be done with it all.
He gets pissed.
He gets pissed. And I'd be so scared if I was a young chef and he's like eye rolling my shit. I'd freak out.
Desert island food. So you're trapped on a desert island. There's one food you're going to eat for the rest of your life. You will never get tired of it.
Yeah, I've thought about this. They're everywhere now. Chipotle made them everywhere, but like a good mission style burrito, like a huge burrito that you can jam. I probably eat burritos more than any other food, period.
Really?
Yeah, there's Chipotle started in Denver. And there's another one called Illegal Pete's that's like way cooler with better ingredients, and they stir it up, which is the big thing about Chipotle. Stir your ingredients up, you fools. Now I'll take a bite and it's just rice. And then this other bite's got chicken and salsa.
Yes.
What Illegal Pete's does, stir it up, equally distribute the ingredients, and then every bite has got all of it. What are you doing, Chipotle?
Wow.
But so I'm other places.
What is it called? Legal Pete's?
Illegal Pete's.
Illegal
they're,
Pete's.
They're lovely. They're great.
I'm picturing Pete like laying down in his bed and just seeing visions like Oppenheimer of like, why don't they mix the ingredients?
I know Pete Turner. He started it when he was a kid up at CU. And like, I totally think you're right. He's like, yeah, I've got it. I'll put these fuckers out of business. And I am in bed with those dudes. They sponsor our comedy show. They rule. So
Unlike Sir Kensington, which I heard when he made a burrito for his slaves, he would separate the ingredients in such a dastardly way.
Yep. The secret ingredient is cotton. That's all his only thing. Yeah. So a burrito, but a mission style, all Chipotle, Illegal Pete's, they're all copying San Francisco mission style burrito. And that's what I would do for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I don't get those burritos though, because I feel like you can't do anything after you eat them. It's like a football.
No.
You just ate a football.
I'm on a desert island. What do I got to do?
Yeah, I guess
I'll just sit there and digest and work on my tan. Talk to the volleyball.
Yeah. Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
Food that I can't stand eating. I don't like, this is a new development. No one cares, but radishes. Lately, in the past, like couple of years, radishes. If I eat one, I get a headache. Like even
get
a little
out
bit.
Of here.
Yeah, I said my head starts to hurt, and I don't know what that is. But my wife loves them, and it's a new phenomenon. Maybe I'm dying, but if I eat radishes, I get a headache.
Oh my god, this is gonna be sad when this airs and you're dead from whatever the radish was trying to tell you.
Well, listen, my boys. My family will sue Big Radish, and this family will be well off.
Kids, you heard it here. You have it here. This is admissible in court.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dad complained of head pain from radishes 2 years later. Yeah. Sue him, boys. Go after me. Avenge my death, boys.
Do you not like radishes, though, or they just give you a headache weirdly?
I like them. I think they're like adorable. I like the taste of them. I like the crunch of them, but I can't eat them.
I think a radish on its own is fine. The French style with like a bunch of butter and salt on it. I like me some of that.
I mean, what's that not true about, to be fair?
That's a good point. Anything with butter and salt on it would be
good. Butter and salt. Yeah, you've taken it up another notch.
Yeah, thank you, Emeril.
I'm going down the food personality.
Another notch. All right, last question. This is my favorite question. What is or what are your restaurant pet peeves?
Restaurant pet peeves.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, I tweeted this one time. I said, I hate when our waiter has a personality. And like, I mean, it sounds like such a prick, but it's just like, you know, the kid who's like clearly does improv or something, or they sit down in the empty chair and they're like, how are we doing? And it's like, well, we were having a fine time until you sat in that fucking chair. Like, a good waiter is like, you don't even notice them. They're barely there. And there is an art. There's an art to it, I think.
Yeah.
And certainly I'll engage with a funny person who's like cool or whatever. But there's a grading type of waiter that we've all experienced who's really, they think their personality is awesome and you don't.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing in life to deal with for a comedian, I think, especially.
For sure. Like someone putting on the show and you're like, oh, I don't like this show.
That is a great one. Adam, this has been delightful. Again, sorry for canceling so many times, but it was worth the wait for me.
No, I thanks. It's been delightful for me. I was worried and nervous about what you'd think of my fridge, so I feel good. I feel relieved.
No, it was a fantastic fridge, and you were definitely a man after my own food heart. So always good to see with fellow comedians, because most of us are just garbage humans.
Hell yeah. Yeah, way to step it up. Good for us.
Yeah, good for us. Tell all the people where they can find you.
You can follow me on all the socials at Caton Holland, CAYTONHOLLAND. And I have a new special out called Wallpaper that I'm very proud of. And that is on YouTube for free. So check it out.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.